Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Two footy legends covering all things sport for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome to Sports Day Tuesday night. Badge and Sats and Woogie here. Sats and I in the Sports Day studio. Of course, Gary Belcher from his palatial home studio with a mahogany couch. What else has he got in there? Fireplace. Crackling. Haven't you got a crackling fireplace as well going on in there, Badge? Welcome, mate.
Sorry, I'm just putting out my cigar, finishing off my...
Have you got a port poured already?
Yes, thank you very much.
For those who don't realise, Badge's lovely wife brings him dinner in every night. Mm. Last night,
no, she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
Sometimes she waits till I'm off the air and then we share.
Do you feed each other? Is that what you're saying? Like, she feeds you like a bird.
So this is where he starts getting creepy. This is where Woogie starts getting creepy.
Badge, we're up to O with the home studio tonight, mate. Who is it?
Oh, my God. I'm tossing up between one of my favourites who played the first ever Origin game for Queensland at halfback, Greg Oliphant, or I toured with this bloke, one of the all-time great rugby union converts, Michael O'Connor.
Oh, Snoz. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Michael O'Connor. I got the Michael O'Connor studio tonight. So the great man who, he was a star at all levels. Remember that goal he kicked? I was on the sideline.
I was
91, out that Origin,
wasn't it?
Yeah, and I was doing some commentary on the sideline, and I was dead set. I had the voodoo dolls out, everything. I was booing him. He couldn't hear me. Pouring down rain. It was about 20 metres away, and he kicked that goal from the sideline.
That's the game where MG said, the New South Wales selector walked up to him and said, you never get suspended out of Origin. Go out and just take your heads off. You got 8 weeks. Hey, talking about the studio last night, Badge, and hello, listeners as well. It was the N studio last night. And Sporty Gav, he got a little bit cranky at you, didn't he, last night?
Because we ran out of time to read out all the text messages. So read it out now.
Okay, so rugby league players starting with the letter N. Last night you said Brian Niebling, Darryl Neville, South Sydney Centre, Ian Naden, Alan Neal. Now this guy, I knew this guy well, still know this guy very well. Keith Neller, front rower, played at the
Keith
Gold
Neller.
Coast. Yeah, the cow, they called him.
Yeah.
There you have it.
There you go.
Good
Keith
history lesson. Hey, Badge, can I quickly just touch on, I sent you a text
message. Thanks, Sporty Gav. That was outstanding.
I sent you a text message not so long ago, just before we came on air, about your great mate Peter Jackson, who you told a story last night about how you stole a car
both
on Mad Monday.
Well, not what I told.
Okay, but it was the Big League 1987. Now, 87, was that his first year in Canberra?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so it's a... It's a there's a player profile, and I love the old player profiles. And his likes were Banana Paddle Pops, his Tirana, Forex, Miami Vice, The Wit Sundays, The Nightclub Private Bin, and Dressing in the Latest.
And his favourite entertainer. Could he have been more alike to this bloke? Rodney Roode.
Rodney Roode.
That was Jacko all over. I love it. They said, favourite radio station, 2CC, because he worked for him.
Yeah.
Favourite TV? Canberra has the worst television in the world. Two programs I follow are Miami Vice and Soap.
Oh, Soap. Funny.
There you go.
Funny.
Incredible. Hey, listen, big show tonight, boys. Pete Bedell, the chief league writer for the Courier Mail, will be on because there's been a bit of a Broncos dust-up. And what a welcome...
Broncos brouhaha.
But what a welcome relief this is, because last night we're talking to Jared Wallace from the Titans, and Toby Sexton was drinking shandies.
And Jared Wallace was home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, apparently.
Yeah,
incredible.
Drinking lattes.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely incredible. So it's good to see that you've got a couple of the Broncos forwards taking each other out.
Yeah, obviously no one in the public got injured. No public property got damaged. So I'm saying, well done, boys. Now, can I throw out to the listeners, 0477-736-736, because I can't remember last week, but can the listeners remember of former teammates that have had a dust-up off the field? Punch up.
Have you had any badge?
I've got one. Yeah, well, once again, on a Mad Monday in 1981, so I was 19, and Chris Phelan, I mentioned him last night, only ever drank once a year, and so we end up at our junior club, South Juniors in Brisbane, Acacia Ridge. Greg Vevers was the Australian captain in 1977, played for South, and he had to retire because he had a detached retina, an eye problem. And they were all the Billy Johnson and Mal and Bruce Astle and these big monsters, Chris Field, they're all standing around like a dry bar. And I'm sort of, a couple of us sort of sidled up just to get near them. And Chris, they were going around talking about broken noses, and someone said to Greg Vivas, "Oscar, your nose doesn't look too bad." He said, "Never broken my nose. 14 seasons, played state of, yeah, never broke it." And Chris Phelan was next to him, and he's leaned over and headbutted him and broke his nose. And Greg didn't skip a beat. He just, tears coming out of his eyes, he just grabbed tissues or whatever off the table, wiped his eyes and blood coming out of his nose, wiped all that and just kept drinking. I just went, I think I'm playing the wrong sport.
See, that's footy.
These guys are crazy.
That's footy.
That was crazy.
Not lattes and shandies at a bowls club.
No.
On the Gold Coast for Mad Monday.
Drinking espresso martinis.
Oh, they weren't.
So, listeners, can you remind us of any ex-teammates that have gone toe-to-toe off the field? I'm sure there'd be plenty.
0477 736 736. Or you can call us 13 13 55. By the way, Michael O'Connor is a pretty good example and deserves the O studio tonight with Badge. But what other great players surnames started with O? I'd like to hear from you on that as well. 0477 736 736. Boys, how did Sam Burgess go on SAS last night?
Good. He was the first. Yeah. He was the first cab off the rank, where they drag you into the interrogation and they talk about your life and where you've been and why you're here, and he peeled back all the layers. I tell you what, he's lost a lot of weight. Like he's leaned off. He hasn't got that real muscular build that he used to. He still looks really lean and
looks fit.
But,
yeah.
It's such a big unit. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes. I think
really
he'll go
is. It's going to be. It's going to be an interesting show. They're ruthless. They're tough. Well, Alicia Mollick got into some.
She
blew up at her because she had to do this challenge where they had to get out of a helicopter when it was hovering over a dam and climb down one side, across a ladder and back up the other side. And when she got to the other side, Sats, didn't she? She gave a bit of a celebratory
skylarking,
whoop,
yeah.
And they went off at her, made her jump off into the dam, failed, and then gave it to her and punished everyone. So anyway, it set the scene for what's going to be a tough, I don't know, what do they do, a few weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
In the middle of nowhere.
Now, surprise, surprise, and this did surprise me, out of all the contestants, Bryn Edelston was the first one to wave the white flag very early on in the process.
Oh, why? And she's been with Jeffrey. Do you reckon she's waved the white flag before? Do you think that's been a thing?
She gave up pretty early. She gave up pretty early.
Yeah, she was about 5 minutes longer than Roxy Jasenko. Roxy was pathetic.
Why'd you have to mention her? Talk about ruining a good night.
Yeah. Hey, Badge, we've got another.
No.
We've got another.
It's supposed to be celebrities, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got another O for you.
What?
Now, put your name to the text messages 0477 736 736. Graham Olling. Former front row from Parramatta.
Yes, yeah, he was a gun. 70s and 80s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
There's
love that.
One.
He's on my list.
Keep
next
those
time
coming
around,
through.
He might get a start.
0477 736 736. Shoot us a text. Rob McKnight, actually, on the subject of television. He's our TV expert from TV Black Box. He'll join us to talk about TV ratings, and you'll be surprised how the rugby league ratings are going on Fox, but even AFL ratings this year. Through the roof, because I guess people can't see their teams. We'll talk to Rob McKnight about that. More importantly, by the way, last night, how did the giant kebab go on Masked Singer?
I shan't be watching. Shan't ever be watching that show.
Why?
That's a stinker, that show.
Well, it's... What?
No one watches it. Like, seriously.
Z-grade judges.
It's
and then the concept is just ridiculous.
Oh.
Right, yeah. Wait, hang on. One of the judges, they're not all Z-grade. Isn't one of them one of our mates from the one of these people?
It's Garland Jackie O.
Aren't they? You're saying Z-grade.
That's good padding then for you, wasn't it?
I know, I was trying to find the button. I moved the bloody button. Hey, we'll talk to Rob McKnight. We'll find out if Masked Singer is a lemon. Chris Nelson will join us too. He's got some Racing Queensland news. Here's something there, Sats.
Sporty Gav, he is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the history of rugby league. Hi, Badge, Sats and Woogie. Rugby league player starting with the letter O, Badge, Leodenrein.
Yeah, remember he had that sprint race against Martin. Offia! There you go!
That's the next
one. There's another O.
That's the next one. That was Robbie O'Davis. Now, does O'Davis count?
Yeah, Robbie O. Yeah.
Clinton O'Brien.
Why did O'Connor? Why wouldn't O'Davis count?
Clinton O'Brien, premiership winner of the Newcastle Knights, my former brother-in-law.
There you go. Yes. And also text on any, so keep them coming with your O's. And
did he divorce you, Sats?
No, we married a set of sisters.
Oh, okay.
And then we end up living together, both Clinton and I.
And with what the sisters?
We both ended up living in a...
No, go ahead.
We've not good.
We both separated and ended up living in the same unit, Clinton and I.
Oh.
But were all four of you in the unit at the same time?
No, we'd both separated from the sisters.
And then the sisters went and lived with each other? What happened?
No, Clinton and I end up living with each other.
Oh, this is a little bit too creepy.
Don't tell him anything else, Sats. He gets a bit
Andrew Johns versus Ben Kennedy in the park opposite the Beach Hotel at Merriweather. Yes, of course.
Was there?
Yeah. They got into a stink on the drink one afternoon.
I'd back Ben Kennedy, wouldn't you? Yes. Twice the size.
0477 736 736. Teammates have had blues as well on Mad Monday. Hot topic tonight. What's been your favourite part of the season so far?
The finals.
Mm.
State of Origin. Blues. 2-1.
Yeah. There you go.
That went
it's
down
all
well,
over.
Didn't it? Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do this.
Sports Day. Sports Update.
Boys, judiciary is in action right now. Sam Verrills is disputing the grading for his high hit on Brian Kelly. Now, what happens if he gets this downgraded? He'll be okay to play this weekend?
Yeah, if he gets it downgraded and then he's pled guilty to the... But he wants to downgrade it, which brings it under 100 points, which means 100 points, 100 points means 1 week, 200, 2 weeks, of course, and he'll have some carryover points. So it looks as though at this stage or it might be a fine if it gets downgraded. So I don't like his chances, Badge. I feel as though he could have bent his back and... And if he did, his shoulder actually hits him down around the chest region. So, yeah, I don't like his chances. Brian Kelly broke his nose.
Kelly was falling, but he wasn't far off normal height.
Yeah.
So I don't like his chances either. You never know. Never know your luck in the big city. He'll have a go. And they'd like to have him out there, of course. If not, then they're running out of dummy halves, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mad Monday celebrations, or was it a wicked Wednesday? We'll find out from Pete Bedell from the Courier Mail soon about the Broncos. Tom Flegler and Jordan Rickey clashed. We'll find out more about this, but Rickey being left bloodied and requiring stitches. I love this. It's good old-fashioned biffo amongst teammates. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it at all. I mean, they'll handle it internally. And it doesn't need to be looked at any further by the integrity unit. It's either a good thing.
But they'll look at it. They will look at it, wouldn't they? Surely.
They'll look at it. But I mean, it's one of those things where they'll sit back and just see how the club handles it. And I'm sure Benny Eichen and Dave Donaghy will handle it okay. It's just two young players that are ripping into each other, and the common denominator here is alcohol and skylarking and. Move on.
It just depends on how much of a blow-up there is in the media about it. Seriously, if it becomes a big thing, then the NRL will take action. Because for bringing the game into disrepute. So, we'll see how it plays out. Fidel will tell us.
Can I use the saying, juicy matchup this weekend, Tedesco versus Trbojevic? Who wins the battle, boys?
Whoever wins the game.
That's it?
Yeah. Yep. No,
that's Scott, come on. Now, you're not doing it justice.
It's going to be an interesting one because, Tommy Trbojevic has come out today and said, I've had a great season. It's outstanding. But guess what? James Tedesco is still the number one fullback. And you'd expect Tommy Trbojevic to say that as well. But it's a mouthwatering battle. It's one of those battles where it's the only thing you're looking forward to. I mean, look forward to a lot of things in the finals. But this is the one thing that I'm just going to be fixated on in relation to both their involvements.
Didn't you have some stat last week? Was that you or Mark Braybrook around short turnarounds?
Yeah, no, it was Gus Gould brought it up last week. Yeah, if he has a 6-day turnaround or less, his input into the game is 50%.
That's amazing.
That would decide what teams he comes up against as well the following week. But, yes.
How's he go on 7-day turnarounds?
No, that's when he's at his...
He's at 83.
He's at 146%.
Oh, okay, output. Good.
Yeah.
And
he's in for a big one.
And what about on Saturdays? How's he go? Are they playing Saturday? Yeah, they are. How's he go on Saturdays?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. So how's he go on Fridays when you look at those stats?
He goes better in day games statistically than he does night games.
Right.
Has he played Friday day games? Very often.
Didn't he at the start of the season? Wasn't that part of the hamstring? Oh, no, it was early morning, wasn't it?
Allegedly. Very early.
Allegedly. Yeah. Boys, six Titans have departed the club today. Ash Taylor, Mitch Rain, Jai Whitbread, Tyrone Peachey, Sam Stone and Jonas Pearson. Let's concentrate on two here in particular. Ash Taylor and Tyrone Peachey. If you're at the Titans, would you let him go?
I wouldn't let Tyrone Peachey go. We don't know what sort of money his management might have come back and asked for an unrealistic figure in relation to where they can fit him in the salary cap. The Titans, we don't know what's happened internally. Ash Taylor, of course, on seven figures, and you know, who knows what's going to happen with him. But I think both, if you get them at the right price, especially Peachey, I think he's a really good pickup. I think
Ash will struggle. Ash will struggle to get a club.
I think Ricky Stewart would do amazing things with Ash Taylor. I think whoever gets Ash Taylor next gets him at the right age when it comes to maturing as a rugby
league
player.
And the right price. So there won't be all that expectation around his pay packet that was just, it was crazy in hindsight, wasn't it? Paying $1 million to a 19-year-old kid and he just didn't handle it. Not many would. I'm not sure he's as good as we thought he was going to be, but maybe in a different environment he would be. But yeah, I reckon Tyrone Peachey, I'd be looking at him if I had room in my salary cap.
A couple of texts coming through, well, a lot of text messages coming through as well about some O names you could name your studio after. Badge tonight, there's one here. Again, put your name on it as well and where you're from. Warren Orr.
Yes, played at Wests in Brisbane, played for Queensland and Australia, 1975. Pretty sure he went on a World Cup tour, maybe a couple of tours. Flying winger Warren Orr.
He was.
Big fan of his. And, back in the hippie days where, you know, had long hair and a bit of a flowing mow and beard at times, I think. Yeah, he was a good, very good player. I love that one. And I got another one here. Bob O'Reilly. The Bear.
The Bear.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Parramatta.
Keep your text messages coming through.
We're also getting some text messages on teammates that have actually ended up in a stink.
Hold on to that.
Yeah,
we'll get to that real soon. This is Sports Day for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. It has landed. Speaking of stinks, there was one with the Broncos teammates recently. Pete Bedell, chief league writer for the Courier-Mail, joins us next to tell us what happens on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats here for your Tuesday night. We were talking this time last night to Jared Wallace about their Meek Monday celebrations at a bowls club.
Embarrassing.
And you do recall that Jared Wallace said that Toby Sexton was drinking shandies. Now, you mentioned, and Badge, I mean, Badge stole a car on a Mad Monday once.
Yeah.
And Craig.
I beg your pardon?
Sorry. Well, it's alleged.
No, Peter Jackson stole the car.
I was only an accessory to a crime.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not life.
It wasn't a crime. He borrowed it.
Anyway, I believe the Broncos have restored faith in Mad Mondays by punching the crap out of each other.
I love this.
Pete Bedell, the chief league writer for the Courier-Mail, joins us. Pete, thank God for the Broncos.
Oh, man, I'm back in the bunker again, guys. I've always got the flak jacket on, even in finals time. But, look, forget about Mad Monday. It was Wild Wednesday for the Broncos. Yeah, interesting one. Like, they had obviously a bit of a celebration drink after the season ended, and there was an altercation between Tom Flegler and Jordan Rickey, their two young forwards. So, look, I know I spoke to the Broncos about it, and they say it was just a wrestle, but I heard it was a little bit more than that, and then it led to some damage for Rickey. So, but look, ultimately, there'll be no charges pressed by the integrity unit. There'll be no fines, sanctions. So I guess that's one good thing for the Broncos. But I guess for the optics of it, it's not a good look for the Broncos with two players involved in an altercation.
Do you know the details yet, Pete, in relation to... You said on the face value of it was just a wrestle. Do you know in any depth what did instigate it at all?
Yeah, well, look, I went to the Broncos with the mail that I had, and I was up front with them. I said that my information was that they had been to the Royal Exchange Hotel at Toowong, that they'd had a bit of an argument, Ricky and Flegler, and then it went outside and that Flegler had struck Jordan Ricky and split his lip, and he needed stitches. Now, that was the information I put to the Broncos. They say it was just a bit of playful wrestling that got out of control and then it ended where it did. But I know that Ricky did have stitches. The Broncos confirmed that. And he didn't go to the awards night on the Thursday night the next night because I was told he was pretty worse for wear and they didn't want him at the awards night. So, look, it was probably not the biggest fight of the century, but no doubt there was an altercation. And the Broncos have spoken to the players. Flegler's apologised to Ricky and they've laid down the law to them and said this isn't the culture we expect at our club. So well done to the Broncos for getting on top of it, and they need to stamp it out if they want to be a top eight contender next year.
Pete, should we be surprised that they were at a public venue? I thought that was out of bounds for a lot of clubs.
No, when the season finished, you were right. Yeah.
You do what you want. No, I don't mean as far as COVID's concerned. I thought of recent seasons that Mad Monday celebrations had gone behind closed doors a lot more often.
Yeah, look, guys, I don't know all the details, but I know clubs these days, things tend to be a lot more sedate, don't they, than they used to be in your day, Badge and Sats, when you'd have all sorts of shenanigans going on. But I think that we won't recall Gary Belcher's in this episode, but look, I think what? Most clubs are now cognizant. I think most clubs are now cognizant in this era that you just can't afford to have any off-field misdemeanors, and Mad Mondays often get out of control, as we saw with the Bulldogs a couple of years ago. So I think, as we say, whenever alcohol is involved, something invariably happens, and in this case, it has with the Broncos.
Well, Thomas Flegler, he's also recovering from shoulder surgery, isn't he, Pete?
I think Ricky's had shoulder surgery. Tom had shoulder surgery last year, but he was suspended, believe it or not, for the next at the end of the year. But look, I think it's disappointing for the Broncos, but not the crime of the century. They'll have to get over it. But in terms of the internal machinations and what it means for tensions within the group, you hope that they can put it beside them, move on, and they're a harmonious group next year, because that's what they'll need to be to be a finals contender.
I don't think it's such a bad thing, Sats. And I know you were pretty excited, feigning excitement at the start, but I don't think it's such a bad thing. And, of course, there's got to be a bit of passion in your side and a bit of, sometimes you're going to clash, and that's just, you don't have to be the best friends. You just have to be giving your all when you're on the field and at training. So I think it's not such a bad thing. And if the integrity unit has said no, there's nothing going any further, it can't be too much in it, Pete, so I don't imagine Kevy's too worried. Can we ask you about some other stuff, Pete? State of Origin, what's going on with the coaching gig there? It's all gone a little bit quiet.
Yeah, interesting development, guys. So I could tell you the Queensland Rugby League has put a three-year offer to Billy Slater, so he's definitely the man they want as the head coach. He's been offered a three-year deal to the end of 24. But there's a few little sticking points, guys. Now, one of those relates to money. They're trying to work out the right financial terms for Billy to accept the job. Now, he's got a lot of media commitments, he's got family commitments, he's got business interests. So Billy wants to do the job justice. He wants to give great respect to the Queensland Origin program, but it will come at a price, and they need to find out the right financial terms. And the other element to this, guys, is who his senior advisor is, because the QRL want to have a mentor to help him along. Now, that mentor has been identified as Mau Meninga. The problem is that they haven't got the green light yet from the NRL for Mau Meninga, who is the test coach, as we know, to then have a dual role helping the Maroons. It's seen as a conflict of interest, and I agree with that sentiment. So there's a little way to go for the Maroons. They haven't got either guy over the line yet. I think Billy will ultimately commit, but whether Mau Meninga does, I don't think he will.
So in the end of 2019-20, Pete, I should say, in November, that Origin series, Mau Meninga did help Wayne Bennett. What was the difference then compared to now?
Yeah, I think the determination at the time, Sats, was they felt that obviously it was a COVID-affected era. It was a short 2-3 week series, and there was also no test matches being played at the time. So Mount Meninga didn't have to pick a Queensland or an Australian team. So they felt that Mount Meninga wouldn't be compromised because he wasn't choosing a team. But I think that was almost viewed as a one-off concession and dispensation given the COVID climate. But moving forward, I know Peter Volandis has some concerns around a potential conflict of interest. So I'd be surprised if Mao's clear,
really?
But if he is, I think there'd be some strict parameters put in around what he can and can't do, which I'm also hearing he'd have to step aside as an Australian selector.
He's not going to be the coach. He's going to be a mentor for the coach. And to suggest that Mao would in any way have a bias, I mean, I know there could be a perception of a conflict of interest, but I could tell you firsthand there wouldn't be for Mao. And there's no way that he would have any bias towards or against any players because of his helping out Billy Slater at State of Origin level. So I think that's, you know, I reckon Mal would have his nose out of joint about that one too. I hope they can sort that one out because I think it'd be a very, very good combination.
Yeah, I think, guys, that's the concern, though, isn't it? It's all around the optics of the situation. I mean, I agree with you, Badge. I think Mal Meninga is a man of fine repute. I wouldn't have an issue. But I guess if you're New South Wales and you see 13 Queenslanders picked in the Australian team, all of a sudden you could easily just throw darts at Mal Meninga, couldn't you? And I think that's what they want to avoid at the ARL Commission. So, look, guys, you know, it's a good plan the KRL have for Mal Meninga to mentor Billy. But if Mal can't do it, the dilemma becomes who is a senior mentor, who's qualified. The only other person is, of course, the great Wayne Bennett. So maybe he comes into the picture.
Yeah. What about Cam Smith? What role does he play? He said he doesn't want the head coaching role for a number of years, but would always entertain some sort of assistant role. Will he play a role, do you think?
Yeah, look, I spoke to the QRL about that, Sats. I'm told that Billy would have some input into who he'd want around him, and the QRL intimated that Cam Smith may be one guy because obviously Billy played with him at the Storm. They have similar views and philosophies on rugby league and how it should be played and the strategies around it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Billy brought Cam into camp to help with the culture and educate players. I don't think we'll ever see Cam as a head coach for some time, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had a bit of a cameo role coming into Camp Marone and assisting Billy. So he's definitely on the radar.
Pete, I'm hearing that Scott Prince is very highly regarded in the QRL offices and is being positioned somewhere amongst some sort of Origin coaching framework.
Yeah, that's right. So that's actually, I spoke to Scotty Prince at the Broncos Awards night just last week, and he was loving the idea of moving into coaching. I think he's, as you know, Sats, you played with him. He's a smart guy, Princey, great football brain. I think he'd be a wonderful educator for the halves of the Maroons in particular. So I know they've got a good rap on him, the QRL. He's done some stuff in their junior systems. He's worked with the women's teams. So he's highly regarded, and he's at an age where I think he's in his early 40s. So I think he can develop into a really good coach, Princey. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's part of this succession plan they've got to mentor the next wave of coaches.
Righty-o.
Can I just quickly ask you about Toddy Payton? Is everything fine? Is he safe up there at the Cowboys? Given, I'm only asking because they finished second last, and it certainly wasn't near the season they expected to have. Is all sweet up there?
Yeah, it's a good question, but look, I haven't heard any rumblings per se. I mean, look, he's got a 3-year deal, Todd, and it was a difficult first season for him. I think he underachieved. I thought he'd do better than he did. But there were a few concerns around, you know, the things he said about Jason Tamalolo. He seemed to put his key player offside pretty early. So maybe they've got some things to iron out there, and maybe Todd just needs to relax and show some light and shade in his personality, because I think he's a good coach. I think he knows the game and he communicates quite well, but I think sometimes he can look a bit negative in press conferences and his body language isn't always as positive as it could be. So maybe that's something for him to work on, but he's a rookie coach in an NRL sense. But next year's make or break for him, isn't it? If they have another tough year all of a sudden, as we know in NRL coaching, the spotlight can shine pretty bright pretty quickly.
Rightio, Pete. We better let you go. We've learned a lot from you today. Nothing wrong with a good old-fashioned bashing of forwards.
It wasn't a Sunday if Steve Carter and Craig Gower didn't go toe-to-toe in the car park of the Grey Gums Hotel.
There you go. And they did well out of all that. Hey, before we let you go, Pete, we're talking about greatest memory of the season so far. What's yours?
Oh, I've got to say, guys, early on in the year, for me, some of my fondest memories Ryan Pappenhausen's early season form, I just thought he was unbelievable prior to that head knock that he copped. I just thought some of his tries were electric, just his fitness, the way he puts himself in games. I was just blown away by how he was constantly on the ball and so energetic. So that's been a highlight for the season for me, and I'd love to see Pappenhausen just, he showed glimpses again, didn't he, the other night, that he's back to his best, and I'd love to see him carve up in the prelim final. He's one of my favourite players, Paps.
Equal with that, the Blues winning Origin, of course, too, Pete, right? All right,
yeah.
I'm on my own.
I'm not going to give away my...
I'm on my own in here.
Blues roots.
He's an Eastern Suburbs boy, too.
He's a bra boy.
What bra number? Boy.
What number are you again, Pete?
Actually, guys, 2035. Actually, speaking of Eastern Suburbs boys, another favourite guy's Sam Walker. I've just loved his evolution this year. What a player. I've been watching him since he was 15, 16. And to see him step up in the role this year and play the way he has, he's a phenomenal talent. He's a special kid. I've loved watching him.
I reckon if Pete Bedell had a tattoo, it'd be a teddy bear. No, like Radar from MASH. Remember Radar from MASH, guys, or am I too old?
Yeah, I remember Radar.
Is it true? Is it a teddy bear or Rose?
He has got barbed wire around his bicep. I know that.
Oh, has he got biceps? Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
He's got a spider web on his elbow.
I think I once tried to get a love heart, guys, and my missus broke up with me about a week later, so that was a problem.
There we go. Pete Bedell, the chief league writer of the Courier-Mail. Thanks for the latest on State of Origin Queensland coaching situation and, of course, what's happening at the Broncos. Have a good night, mate.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Anytime.
Time for a break on Sports Day. Thanks to the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. When we come back, the hot topic.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Now, hot topic time.
Certainly is. Geez, the text machine's going off tonight. 0477 736 736. We'll get to some of your text messages about who should Badge name. He's already named it after Michael O'Connor. Tonight, it's O for the Badge's home studio.
I didn't realise there were so many O's.
It's incredible. Good to see one that I suggested pop up as well, even though his first name starts with O. We'll get to that one in a moment. Plus, punch-ups.
You'll get it eventually.
Well, I know. We're only up to O. Give me till about Y. I should be able to get it by then. Hey, also, punch-ups within clubs on the back of the Broncos thing. We want to get some of your thoughts on that as well. 0477 736 736. You got one for us there, Sats?
What do you want? Do you want an O name?
No, or? Give us a punch-up amongst teammates.
Paul Stringer and Mark Ogre O'Mealy. Who's another O? O'Mealy.
I'm Mark O'Mealy. There you go.
They were good mates. Played for North Sydney and also the Northern Eagles. They had a massive punch-up and were drinking schooners 20 minutes later. Now, one of the most famous punch-ups between teammates or officials... Jason Taylor getting hit by David Faialongo at South Sydney.
The coach getting belted by a player. Was it David Faialongo?
Yeah. David Faialongo, yeah.
All right. Also, keep those coming through. 0477
736. Got a couple of people throwing those up.
736. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for your text messages, particularly first timers. And don't forget, too, to put your name and where you're from on there as well so we can give you a bit of a shout out. Boys, what's been the greatest moment of the season so far that you can think of?
That I can think of. So if I'm thinking about one moment, I don't think it's the greatest, but I got really excited calling the game and seeing it live. And it was earlier on the season. I don't know whether the listeners can remember, but it was South versus Brisbane, and Dane Gagai took off a 90-metre chase by Xavier Coates, came from the far wing and brought him down in touch. I thought it was just an amazing individual play.
It was.
Second best tackle in the history of the game. It was great.
Huge. You know what just sticks out for me is one of those moments when Brett Morris was forced to retire and the shot of his brother Josh in the dressing room with him, give him a bit of a hug, just the two of them, and he's just shattered because of that injury. It's just a special moment between blokes who've been outstanding for our comp for our game for 15 years or so. I agree with what Peter Bedell said before. Sammy Walker, that he just comes on for 7-minute stints and pops over field goals.
Yeah.
How good's he been? Tommy Trbojevic. We've spoken about him, I think, more than any other player this year, about magic moments. He has been the star. I know last week was a quiet one. He's got another chance this week to redeem himself.
To provide so many hat-tricks, Badge, in one season. Oh. I don't think we'll ever see it again.
Six, you know, I think, is it?
Just ridiculous. Yeah. Now, Adrian from Wisebury, he says his favourite moment has been the undeniable skill of Josh Schuster at six. Now, the great Bozo Fulton said, if you want to win a comp, you'll have it with this kid at six. And he'll eventually end up moving in there. He might end up being too big, just his
I like
his
that
stature.
He's in the back row. So do I. Reckon it's just toughening him up and getting him to play a bit straighter and not. I think when he's at 5'8", he's a bit too fancy for mine.
Yep.
He doesn't have to throw a no-look pass every time he passes the football. That's just layering up. But the kid can play. It's absolutely outstanding.
It's a little bit like when South started using John Sutton as an ex-5'8" in the back row and becoming another threat. So AJ Brimson burning Ponga with absolute ease to score is another one for Adrian at Wisebury.
That's Adrian from Dural.
Do you reckon?
Yep. Where's Wisebury?
Oh, it's next to Dural.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't have.
He's moved. Hey, you know what mine was, boys?
What's that?
That's Cody Walker pass to, was it Latrell for that try? That
you're the one telling it.
That incredible pass.
Which try?
Which was, it was compared to Cliffy Lyons. It was to Latrell, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It was an amazing pass. Amazing flick pass. And, of course, State of Origin, who could forget? The Blues winning again this year 2-1. I mean, that was outstanding, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And all the extra fans that came to the hotel rooms during State of Origin camp.
Yeah.
Extra guests. Game three.
I mean, wasn't one of the players taking dancing lessons as well on the Gold Coast?
It was.
One of the Queensland players?
That was Joy Arrow.
Was it?
Hey, just a quick one, some community news here. What time is kickoff on Saturday, please?
7:50
Panthers versus Eels.
50.
Yes. We'll go through the bus timetable for you a little later on as well. Actually, all the games this weekend are Mackay, the two games.
They are.
What do you think of that?
Oh, it's great for the regional people. It's great. And I suppose with the rugby championships going on as well, they're taking up, you know, Steve Bus over time.
They're at Suncorp this weekend.
So it makes sense.
All right.
No COVID there.
Yeah, no, of course. There's some more O names coming out as well. How about this one, guys? Played for Manly and who? Matty Orford played for Manly and Melbourne.
Melbourne.
He did.
The Ox.
Yeah.
They called him?
The Ox.
Yeah.
That's another O. He's got a nickname with an O too. That's the first we've ever had of that.
Now, there's a couple here. Steve from Oatley and also Bowie from Newey says, there's only one O and that's Big O, Olsen Filippana. You didn't say the first or last name.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's mine, the Big O. Well, but he is the Big O. Like, there's only one Big Prawn.
Now, Badge, I can't believe you've forgotten this one. Okay. Paul Osborne.
Yes.
Aussie.
Big Aussie.
Yes.
Another what?
Tub of lard. Yeah, he was good player, couldn't he? Good skill. What, 94 grand final. Sats, you and him every year just religiously text each other about, what do you call it? Is that the GFHs?
GFHs, grand final heroes. Yeah.
Oh.
He started.
Who else is in that club?
He started. Well,
Royce Simmons?
Royce Simmons is in there.
Mal will be in there.
Mal's in there.
Oh, you can't have two out of the same game.
We'll bring up a list for you one day. We'll make it a segment one day. Won't. We shan't be doing that.
Hey, before we go to a break, boys, Badge, Sats and Woogie, the best parts of 2021 season has to be having crowds back at the games. Yeah, good point.
Yep,
true. It kind of gave hope to every supporter that we might be able to go and watch a game live again. Great show, Sean from Lennox. Keep your text messages coming through. 0477 736 736. Time for a break on Sports Day. Thanks to the all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range. Available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. On Sports Day, time for a Racing Queensland update. Queensland is your place to race this year.
Yeah, it certainly is. Chris Nelson's a busy man. And Chris, welcome to the show, Rothfire. Got some news around Rothfire.
Yeah, look, most listeners will probably know this already, Jase, but I just thought I'd touch on it, that on that weekend, Rothfire was given a slot into the Everest, of course, and that was the slot owned by the Kennedy Luxury Group. So Rothfire, who will go around at Randwick on Saturday in the shorts, hopefully comes through that okay and onwards and upwards and into the Everest for him. So all things are looking rosy for Rothfire.
Did Rothfire have a run between races on Saturday as well in Brisbane?
Yeah, he had a gallop between races 2 and 3, and he galloped really well. I think he came, he really only put in any effort over 600 metres, and he ran about 33.02, I think, for that 600. So he looks to be going really, really well.
Can anyone do that? Can any horse just do that, or is it only royalty like Rothfire?
What, have a gallop between races?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they usually leave it for the good horses. So anything you and I own, Jace, will never get a crack on a Saturday between races, I wouldn't think. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, the good horses, certainly, it's a bit of a spectacle.
Rightio. Black Bookers, mate. Got some Black Bookers for us?
Yeah, a couple from the trials. Well, one from the trials this morning. Desert Lord, who, of course, was so good winning the gold market on the Gold Coast. He just had a nice little warm-up ready for the Wheatwood. So he's one to follow into the Wheatwood Saturday week, Desert Lord. A couple from Saturday. Soxagon. One from Saturday. Soxagon ran on really well. This is a Toowoomba trained galloper. He's going to strip a lot fitter second up, and he'll appreciate the step up in distance. And Manazi, who ran at Eagle Farm last Wednesday. Have a look at the video of that run. It's M-E-N-A-Z-Z-I. All sorts of trouble at the start. All sorts of trouble on the home turn. Rattled home late. Absolutely flew to the line. Was a good thing beaten.
Yeah, they're the things we like to see. Rightio, mate. Listen, I better let you go. Queensland is racing. The action continues this week across the Sunshine State. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. See you. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Jase.
0477 736 736 is our text number. Or
he
you
made
can call
a lot
us.
Of people money. On the weekend.
13, 13.55. Yeah, he had a big one. Something like
1,700 text messages over the weekend to the SEN track line.
And were those people happy about the wins that he put together for them?
Absolutely.
Apart from one person.
Gary Belcher.
The man in the Michael O'Connor home studio tonight. 0477 736 736. Who should Badge name the home studio after tonight, whose surname begins with O in rugby league? Sats, we've got a ton of text messages coming through.
Yeah, we've got a few people who have thrown up the same text messages, so I apologise for not mentioning your names. But Keith Outon, the 5'8 from Balmain and North, he played in the 69. He was the 5'8 in the 69 grand final, Balmain over Souths.
Massive upset.
Yeah.
Massive upset. Was he the one playing the ball slow and whatever, or was it all of
them? They're all doing that. They're all doing that. Well done, but
rabbits.
Zach Aljanik and also Jamie Aljanik from not related, spelt differently, but both tremendous players as well. Now, Badge, what about this one? Chris O'Sullivan.
Ah, Sully,
your former
yeah.
premiership winner.
Yeah. Badge.
Halfback, 5'8". I remember he spat the dummy because he got moved to 5'8", so the compromise was they let him wear the number 7 for the rest of the year.
Ooh. How could you forget your
gun
team,
player.
Mate?
Good tackler.
I've got a really good one here really quickly from Adrian from Dural. I like this, Adrian. Favourite O, every player who stupidly shaped up to Les Davidson, as in the O, zero, you don't win. Yeah, after being pummeled by the Dubbo Destroyer.
Oh,
what was I thinking?
Keep them coming through. 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day for the all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range, available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. Welcome to Sports Day with Badge and Sats. Two footy legends covering all things sport for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome back to the second hour of Sports Day with Gary Belcher and Scott Sattler. Badge, coming to you live from the Michael O'Connor home studio. And we thought we'd throw out some suggestions on other O's that Badge could have named the studio after tonight.
I've changed my mind.
Badge, I've never seen this many text messages to 0477 736 736. We'll go through some of these. Boys, I want to throw a couple at you. I've never heard of these blokes. Mm-hmm. Philo Pastry and Patio Furniture. Who'd they play for?
Ireland.
Of course.
Good Irish players back in the 50s.
Hey, want to get your thoughts on this? Some breaking news just coming out. The ARL bans Mal Meninga from mentoring Maroons. Billy Slater, who's been tabled a three-year, we heard from Pete Bedell earlier, they've tabled a three-year deal to Billy Slater to coach the Maroons with the thought of maybe Mal Meninga mentoring him. But the ARL have knocked that on the head. Thoughts?
Oh, I think it's disappointing. Now, got to remember, Queensland were the first ones to champion the idea of New South Wales, or a state of origin coach also not coaching the national side. It dates back to 1985. Terry Fernley was the coach of New South Wales. Two origins were played. Then they went and played test matches in New Zealand, Badge, and then came back and played Origin 3. And famous Greg Dowling coming off, Queensland won the game. New South Wales won the, what was it, 85, 86?
They dropped four players from the last test and they were all Queenslanders.
Yeah, and Greg Dowling walking up the sideline abusing him while he sat on the sideline in the third origin. So fast forward and it's implemented into rugby league that the national coach cannot be part of origin as well. What it invariably does also is it does question the integrity of that particular person. Now, whether it's Mal or
he's not coaching. He wasn't going to be the coach. He was going to just help out the coach. And he did last year with Wayne Bennett, remember? And
yeah.
When we in the Origin series happening very late in the year.
Yeah.
So, I was a bit perplexed with that one. I'm not sure if they're questioning his integrity or they're just sticking steadfast to those rules. But
What it does do, I suppose, in support of this decision is that it controls the narrative. It stops people talking about particular selections and whether it's going to be questioned or not. And you just don't need that going into a campaign. So they're trying to probably avoid that.
So what are the choices here for Mal then? He resigns as Australian coach to take on this role. Is it worth him doing that, Badge Sats?
No, not as that. Well, he's always said the national jersey, and so it should be, is the number one jersey. So being the coach badge, I would think that
he wants to get the program back up and running. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so I think they'll be looking for someone else too.
Who could?
And he would have other people. It doesn't have to be a mentor. He'll have assistant coaches, but it just would have been a nice fit, I think, for him to have in his first real coaching gig to have an experienced representative coach there. So. They might come up with another option.
Thoughts on that? 0477 736 736. If Billy is, if he accepts the role, who would be a really good assistant coach for him?
Well, I think Michael Hagan would be a really good one for him. Not only is he very good tactically and analytically brilliant when it comes to rugby league, he's a tremendous player for Newcastle and the Bulldogs. But in saying that, also he's just a. He's got a really good way of communicating with coaches and players as well. He doesn't want to be a head coach badge, but I think he'd be really good as a mentor to Billy.
Well, he's involved with Mal often too in the Australian system. They might not let him do it either, although I'd be surprised. So, yeah, he'd be a good one for sure. Wayne Bennett's name will come up again.
Yep.
No doubt at all, but I think he's...
Wayne's probably the most obvious one, isn't it?
I think he's taken himself off the list because he wants to be around if and when the new franchise in Brisbane wants him.
When do we find out about that? How's that? So are you speaking out of school of IR?
No, they've got to make
you?
A decision first about whether they're going to expand, first and foremost, and then they'll make a decision on who that will be. So you'd like to think over the next 4 weeks we would know in some way, shape or form.
Because didn't they want to announce around the grand final?
Oh, no, they never put a date on it. But just looking at timelines, it would make sense.
All right, what are your thoughts? 0477 736 736. Should Mal be allowed to mentor, not coach, but mentor Billy Slater if he accepts the role as the Maroons coach? Hey, coming up, Rob McKnight from TV Black Box will join us. Want to find out how the NRL finals went week one. I'm hearing that it's record numbers on Fox for rugby league ever. Biggest numbers that they've ever had. So we'll talk to Rob about that. And I want to find out how that giant kebab went last night on Masked Singer.
It's in the top three worst shows I've ever seen. It's up there with MASH.
Giant kebab?
There's a giant kebab.
Singing.
Yep. Now, I've gone to bed with a kebab occasionally after a big night. You know, when you grab one about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. This is a really good talking topic for another night. At 2:30 in the morning, when you are stumbling, looking for a cab, an Uber, whatever it may be, wherever you've ordered.
Any given Saturday, yep.
Okay. Pizza slice or kebab?
Badge, you go first.
Pizza slice.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gary.
No.
Yeah, and I'm not totally disappointed if it's in the lounge when I find it.
Right. I'm saying both.
From the night before.
I'm saying both is acceptable and more than one slice. Go two slices.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, and a kebab.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. What do you think? 0477 736 736. Did we talk about that on another night now, or have we just covered it off?
No, we'll talk about it at greater length.
Okay. You can shoot us a text. As I said, get $45,000 off every McDonald Jones Homes. It's the McDonald Jones Home talkback number. No news yet on Verrills and the judiciary. So that's still going on at the moment. As soon as we find out, we will let you know.
Is he a chance, Sats? I mean, I just don't think.
Do you know what? I don't think he is a chance. But then again, there are some players over the weekend that you probably might have thought would have been asked to face the judiciary or given harsher penalties. Junior Paulo was one of them. Murata Niokoro, they've actually just been given fines. So maybe they're saying, listen, if it's bordering on careless and, I don't know, we could have probably let it go because we've got the best players playing in the finals. Maybe they're making that decision. Because you've got to know, the listeners may not know, the judiciary is completely different to the match review committee.
Mm.
And they're completely separate to the NRL management group as well. So, yeah, stranger things have happened.
Rightio. Some text messages coming through, mate, with some plays that end in O.
Graham O'Grady, Snake O'Grady, was a great lock forward for Western Newtown. Remember there was an all-in-brawl one day? Was he with the Dragon?
He played for New South Wales as well.
Yeah.
Early years. In Origin,
great player. Victor from Donnybrook has thrown that in. Des O'Reilly from the Roosters in the 70s. He was a great player as well.
You know, people say, you know, these Broncos players, in the past they had a bit of a Donnybrook.
Mm-hmm.
Was that named after the place Donnybrook? Is that what they say?
Might be.
Had a fight?
Might be.
Well, what's wrong with Donnybrook?
Not
I don't know. Why do they call it a Donnybrook?
What do they call it?
Is it a fight to get to? What about Darren Lockyer going in to help Slater? Cheers, Toronto Rob.
Darren Lockyer?
Mm. He's pretty inexperienced too. I mean, hasn't really been coaching. So I don't know if that'd be the answer. They'll have a few of those guys as his assistant coach. We're kind of talking about mentors. And Cameron Smith has said he'll help out if he's needed too.
Mm.
But really, does he need him? I think he needs someone with a lot of experience at that level.
Yeah, Neil Henry's very good as an assistant.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So there is a few around. Hey, now, Badge, I can't believe I've forgotten this one when it comes to O's. Evening, gents and listeners. This is Gunner Lurch O'Neill.
Oh, yes.
Kid from Gunnedah. What a great player. One of the greatest front rowers of all time. And also, Gunner has said, hey, Badge, just want to throw this one in early for tomorrow night. The Golden Greek P, George Paponis.
No, don't want to hear about him. Don't try to get me
thinking
about P's already. Okay. We're on O's. And you know a bloke who played 22
that sounded
tests
wrong, but anyway.
We haven't talked about? Kel O'Shea.
Oh, one of the great front rowers.
Wasn't he? 22 tests. Just read that.
They formed a front row in the Brisbane competition from out at Ipswich. There was Dud Beattie, Kel O'Shea, and Noel Kelly, wasn't it?
No, it was Parcell.
Gary Parcell. The entire Australian front row playing in out of Ipswich. In the local comp.
That's
out there.
Incredible, isn't it? Mm. All right, keep your text messages coming through. We love them. I've never seen this many text messages. So thanks for sending them through. The McDonald Jones Home Talkback number. Save $45,000 off your dream home. Visit McDonald Jones website to take a virtual tour today. Rightio, let's get into Team List Tuesday for Seats R Us. For a seat to suit, contact Seats R Us. The semi-finals this weekend, just the two games, both in Mackay. Kicks off Friday night, 7:50, Sea Eagles versus Roosters.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting with this one to see how the Sea Eagles bounce back, Badge. The Roosters, of course, they're waiting on this Sam Verrills. Again, Lachlan Lamb and Drew Hutchison being named in the halves, but separate jerseys this time. Hutchison in 7, Lachlan Lamb in 6, and Sammy Walker still on the bench. And for the Roosters, they've suffered a huge blow because Siwa Takiaho, he's been sidelined with a leg injury. That's a huge out from the Roosters. And Nat Butcher comes in. And outside of that, the Sea Eagles, they get a really good return. And I think they missed him last week. Young Carl Lawton's a good player, really, really good player. But I think they missed Lachlan Croker at that starting hooking position. Lawton's good at coming off the bench and filling in wherever he has to fill. But Lachlan Croker, I think, has been a bit of an unsung hero for the Seagulls this year.
They won't be as contained as much as they were by by the Storm. That'll be a hell of a game. And then on Saturday night, same time, 7:50, same place, the Panthers have Moses Leota and Dylan Edwards both named to return. They both had to withdraw late last week before that Rabbitohs game. Stephen Crichton moves back onto the wing, and he was very good at fullback, I thought. Charlie Staines drops out. Matt Eisenhuth makes way in the forwards for Leota. And Scott Sorensen, Satch, you were saying something earlier. So Scott Sorensen comes back to the interchange. He dislocated his wrist in round 25.
It was dislocated for pretty much 2 days.
Jeez.
Yeah, and he's back playing this weekend.
Tough unit.
Well, named.
Tough unit. Spencer Lynn, who drops out drops back to the reserves. And for the Eels, they got Ryan Madison back in jersey, number 17. So Makatoa, who surprisingly got the nod ahead of him last week, drops to the extended bench. Gutherson and Ferguson have both been named despite leg injuries that seemed to be hampering them a bit last weekend. So all in all, not too many changes. And, looked like a couple of absolute outstanding games.
Yeah, sure does, Badge. Mm. Teamless Tuesday. Thanks to Seats R Us, delivering quality service and products that will leave you sitting in luxury. Lots of texts coming through on 0477 736 736.
You've got to hear from John. My late brother, Mark O'Brien, 1977-82. He did play for the Newtown Jets. And sadly passed away. Pretty from memory, passed away this year, John. Yeah, so thank you very much for sending that in. Yeah, Mark O'Brien, absolutely.
Have you mentioned Martin O'Fire?
Martin O'Fire,
yes.
Yeah, we have.
We did.
Yeah, but because he raced. His nickname, sorry.
He raced Lee Odenryn.
He did.
Another O in that famous match race before, it was a midweek game. The Poms were playing in at the Sydney Cricket Ground, Sats, I think, in 88. I was
Parramatta Stadium,
series.
It was.
Was it Parramatta Stadium?
And there was rumours that all the Pommy players, because you could bet on that race, they all backed Lee Odenryn.
They did.
And Odenryn got the jump on him. Yeah.
Oh, well, Martin Offier was still doing his shoelaces up in the start. And he was 5 metres behind and he nearly got there. And you could see the Poms jumping around like they knew. They'd cashed in, the boys. So, they won that. We all thought it would be Martin Offier for sure. But Lee Odenryn was a speedster. So there's a couple of O's. Yeah, beautiful.
Thanks for your text on that one too. Boucher, the water boy. Any more texts? I'm struggling tonight. Do you want to add any more before we go to all breaks? That's...
Yeah, Mick from Oluka, Bobby O'Reilly, Bear O'Reilly. What a great player. Yeah, he has been mentioned. And so has Robbie O'Davis, Toronto Rod. Yeah, so we've got a lot of double ups. It's been tremendous feedback.
Great
spot outstanding.
Too.
And also
Mick
talking
by
about
Luca.
Oh, isn't a beautiful place.
Great spot. Yeah.
Justin Ollam, he's an O. Joe Offeningau, that's from J.R. Cooler.
Now, we don't normally do it with current players, but we can give them a mention. They're never going to be named. The studio's never going to be named.
Now, talking about players or coaches and teammates that have got into stouses, much like Jordan Ricci and also Thomas Flegler. Johnny Rabbit from McLean, he says, Bobby Fulton got belted by reserve grader Billy Marcoux while coaching the Roosters.
Did he?
Any more beltings amongst teammates, coaches, officials, anyone? 0477 736 for our Newcastle Knights fans listening to the show. We've got a lot of them, by the way. Brody Jones has been named the Rookie of the Year.
Good
just
player,
been announced.
Brody Jones.
Yeah, there you go. Righty, we better get to a break. This is Sports Day, thanks to the new Kia Niro range. When we come back, we've got some news to bring you, plus our...
What?
Coming up as well. We'll get to that next here on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. Sports Day news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand.
Lads, still no news from the tribunal tonight, but I can tell you breaking news only came out about 30 seconds ago. Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs have terminated the contract of Lachlan Lewis, effective immediately. Any surprises there?
No, well, I mean, if the investigation into the alleged theft of a sound box, which is provided by the NRL to every club while in quarantine or while in their hubs, their bubbles, If the evidence obviously shows that they had enough grounds to terminate him. So, yeah, if that's the case. Yep.
Did I read someone said it was a prank?
Mm.
Anyway.
Not sure. Know.
They did have CCTV footage of a person with a hood over their head and taking the... And somehow they may have, again, we don't know the full extent of the investigation.
Alleged.
That he's the one that was responsible for that. So if that's the case, they think they've got grounds.
New South Wales recorded 1,127 new local COVID-19 cases in the past 24 hours. I've got some good news now, right, boys? Mm-hmm. Trials of a four-day working week in Iceland showed workers were happier and firms reported increased productivity among workers. Now, Scotland's just introduced a four-day week as well. I'm all for this. The only thing is, can we have this in countries where it's warm? Yeah. Iceland and Scotland, not bad, although the whiskey's pretty good. The scotch is pretty good in Scotland, isn't it?
Mm.
Is it?
So you'd be happy to work an extra day a week, wouldn't you?
Well, work or turn up, Badge, that's the question.
Exactly, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
What's the difference?
You can't call this work.
Oh, see, I spend 7 hours a day on YouTube and 1 hour work. Hey, researchers from the Research Institute for Farm Animal Biology, FBN is the acronym in France, attempted to potty train 16 calves.
What?
Yes, that's right, using a toilet contraption of their own design, which is not too different from dogs' toilet mats. Have you got your dog a toilet mat, Sats? Because I know he doesn't like to go outside because he's scared of the little cat next door.
Next door.
Yeah.
He goes to kindy now. I had to pick him up from kindy today. God, he's a happy dog.
Oh, God.
We had a toad in our backyard last night. That's danger.
That's danger for a dog.
That's worse, as bad as a snake.
They successfully trained 11 of the cows to regularly use a latrine, which captures their waste and disposes of it before it turns into nitrous oxide, the third most important greenhouse gas after methane and carbon dioxide.
Mm. So what were they, potty calves? Did they actually give them a newspaper? They have to teach them to read?
What?
Or they're just on their phones?
Oh, they'll be on their phones, checking their TikTok while they're... I mean, that's what all the kids do nowadays, isn't it, Sats?
TikTok?
Yeah, while they're on the toilet.
Apparently.
Remember you used to read New Idea? I used to be up on all the goss about Home and Away. Now, we just don't have it. When was the last time you bought a magazine? Get Range of Confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. Thanks for leaving me
on
out there,
Sports
boys.
On Sports Day,
big league.
It's time for the unusual...
What?
The stupid...
What?
And the ridiculous.
Right, this is where we look at the funny stories from the week. Badge, do you want to start us off?
This isn't funny, this is ridiculous. Angus Young, Akadaka, superstar, has never been able to get Australian citizenship.
What?
He's been here, he arrived from Glasgow with his family and his 23 brothers and sisters. 1963, aged 8. What's that, Woogie? 50-something, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
He has been on tour so much that he can't get Australian citizenship.
What?
Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit later on.
Exactly.
Australian wallaby, who's in the same scenario because he's toured so much. Yeah.
Is it not the fact that he dresses up as a schoolboy that could have something when you're 60-something?
Yeah, he says you're 60.
It's a bit creepy.
No, you're 12. We're pretty sure you're only 12. You're too young.
That's what he got.
Now, on NRL 360 last night, outside of Kenty and Hoops yelling at each other, which is a regular Monday night, there was an image put up about the most games coached without a premiership. Brian Smith at 601 games. What a great coach he was. Went to a lot of grand finals. And Graham Murray was another one. Another great coach that took a lot of teams to grand finals and finals. Ivan Cleary at 367. Got to remember, he took the Warriors to a grand final. Penrith to a grand final. Not doing too bad. And there was another one called Arthur Pony Holloway. 286 games. Back in the early 1900s and 1930s and so... Yeah, so most games coached without a premiership. Arthur Pony Holloway at 286. No, he didn't win a premiership. He won 8.
What? Oh, did they get that wrong?
Yeah, as a coach and player coach. And he was one of the first super coaches, Arthur Pony Holloway.
Hey, can I chuck one in, boys?
Yeah, off you go.
I don't know if you saw this doing the rounds on social media today, but the ABC News Breakfast Sports presenter Tony Armstrong delivered a gaffe for the ages on this morning that got Tim Payne's attention in more ways than one.
Australian skipper Tim Payne is set to undergo neck surgery, but medical staff remain confident that the veteran will be fit for the Ashes. Payne has a bulging disc that has been causing him pain. I'm going to throw to you very quickly, Michael.
Bulging what?
Disc. I said disc.
That's what I thought you said. Thank you, Tony.
I'm just going to drink water.
Mate, over to you.
I loved how he owned it.
Yeah.
And made fun of himself. I like that.
You know what's better than all that?
What?
Tim Payne retweeting that going, yeah, he's got it correct. He's got it right.
The first time, yeah.
Badge, got another one?
What'd she think?
Hang on. Where is she? She's gone. Where'd she go?
She's gone.
It's gone with Jackie O.
That's a player starting with O. Yeah. Jordan Mailata has put pen to paper on this $87 million 4-year extension with the Philadelphia. He plays for the Philadelphia, doesn't he, Eagles?
Yep, he does, yeah.
And first up, he's going to buy his parents a house.
What?
Oh, how good is that?
Just one?
That with his chump change.
First up, he's going to buy his parents a house. Then he'll start.
Only picked up the game a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Hasn't grown up playing the game. Plays a really important role too in the NFL, so that's amazing.
Rightio, boys. We've got to go in just a moment. Thank you for your watts. 0477 736 736. A text about fisticuffs between players has just come through. Satch, have you got that one there at the top?
Talk about fisticuffs. Saints East Jubilee Oval clash way back in the 50s. Dragon, Dutchy Holland and Rooster Charlie Banks.
Going at it.
Mm.
There you go. Some more names, starting with O. You could have named your home studio after Badge. Luke O'Donnell,
yeah. Toronto, yes. Rod also says, heard Thurston and Bowen had a fight when JT first went to North Queensland and Bowen won. Now, I don't know how true that is, but Matty Bowen can throw them.
Oh, yeah, he can. Go good. Oh, I've just got a text from Craig from Kingscliff. Lee Odenryan. Jeez. He's a bit slow. We've said that twice already tonight.
All right, boys. We're going to go to a break. Standing by, we've got Rob McKnight from TV Black Box. He's got all the latest TV numbers for us. And we're going to talk about SAS and other shows next here on Sports Day.
You're listening to Sports Day. Have your say by dropping Badge and Sats a text. 0477 736 736. That's 0477 736 736. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats here with you on a big Tuesday night. Lots going on, but in the world of television, there's no one better to tell us what's going on, and that is from TV Black Box, Rob McKnight, one of our regulars. G'day, Rob. How are you?
G'day. I was thinking, who have they got on? But you meant me.
Yeah. We'll talk about this soon. We were discussing earlier how the
not one of the judges from The Masked Singer. I know that.
He could be one of it. Could be one of the singers. Yeah, some record-breaking ratings for Fox with the finals. But before we get to that, because we've been talking about it, tell me, SAS Australia must have smashed that Masked Stinker show, whatever it is, last night.
Well, it was an interesting batch last night. Funnily enough, that the Masked Singer, it's revealed. So the moment where they take the mask off beat SAS Australia. But what? Not the actual show.
Oh.
So it was, yeah. So I'm just going back and looking at my figures right now.
What?
And what I can tell you, because I've got all these reports all over the place, but so the block was number one on 864,000 in the five cap cities.
Yeah,
SAS good. Australia did 647,000 and the Masked Singer did 642,000. But when they took the mask off, so that 5, 10, 15 minutes, the reveal was 760,000. So that
will
bump up.
Me.
But the block beat everything.
So, yeah. Say that again. 760,000 people had that show on. What
Only
is going on
the
in this world?
Oh. Only when they took the mask off. But otherwise, SAS Australia beat the Masked Singer. And the block beat everything.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, the block's been firing a lot, especially with those cheating scandals that just keep dragging on and dragging on. But it has been a very good series of the block. They'd be happy with those ratings, wouldn't they?
Oh, especially considering that it was struggling up against Survivor, and so Survivor was sometimes beating it. And when the cheating scandal started, the block just took off. It's now number one. So Nine are in for a pretty good ride for the next few weeks with so many episodes of The Block. They're doing okay.
How did The Bachelor go, Rob?
It was the lowest season ever. It was a complete disaster. It was a stinker.
Now, on a sporting front, of course, there's a big announcement over the last few days where the NRL have changed their time slot. Saturday week, which is the AFL Grand Final time, 7:15 kickoff on the East Coast, 5:15 in WA, and the NRL have changed that Saturday afternoon clash to 4 p.m. Was that smart by the NRL?
Yeah, look, it is, because when it comes to ratings, the ratings are counted from 6 p.m. till midnight. So when you hear that Nine had a 27% share and Seven had a 30% share, it's all based on what happens between 6 p.m. and midnight. So if it's not in that time zone, it doesn't count. At least with a 4 o'clock, it will start to get into that time zone and give a good lead into Nine's programming that night. So the networks, I'll tell you what, the networks want nighttime games. They don't want it in the afternoon because they pay a lot of money for it and they get their advertising in and around the football games, obviously. But the best scenario for any network is to be able to have it on at night where they can draw the biggest audience.
Yeah, okay.
The AFL has been it's been just head and shoulders above, hasn't it, as far as TV ratings go?
Oh, look, take Saturday night. Seven's AFL did 920,000. We're in finals time, so you know, like, but look at the differences. In Sydney, it got 41,000, so not a, you know, a very, very small number. In Melbourne, 535,000. So just in Melbourne alone, over 500,000 people were watching, and a lot of primetime TV shows are lucky to get that as a national figure. So that's just an extraordinary result.
I know it's 2 weeks off. What are the grand final? What does that normally rate, AFL, NRL? They get some of the biggest shows of the year, aren't they, along with Origin?
Oh, yeah. Sport is always the biggest event of the year. They get close to the 2 million mark. AFL is usually pips it. There's something the AFL fans get really right behind that game. So it usually does pip the NRL, but both will do gangbuster business. There's no doubt about that. And especially with the fact that they're not playing in their home states. Both grand finals in other states, so the home crowd have no way of even going to the game, so they will be all watching it big time.
Rob, in relation to, we hear a lot of fans always say, and these are rusted on rugby league fans, they're always saying, I want to go back to 3 o'clock kickoff in rugby league grand finals. Why can't we go back to 3 o'clock kickoffs? And a majority of the people that I talk to want to see the same thing. Now, we know that the broadcasters control the time slots, but would we see a big dip in the numbers if it did go back to a daytime kickoff for the NRL grand final?
Look, it may not affect your numbers that much, but what it affects is the value of it. So the value of having the grand final is the fact that you can get as much audience into your primetime offerings. So basically, a 3 o'clock kickoff, it's all done by the time we get to 6 o'clock, and you know, people will watch the news, but there's nothing there to get them through to prime time. So a 3 o'clock kickoff is not great for the networks. None of them would want that. As I said, they would want it. They'd much prefer it to be like State of Origin and happen at night.
No doubt at all. What's coming up, mate, outside of sport? And we've got these new shows that have just hit. Is there anything else that we should be looking forward to?
Well, I know you love your reality TV shows, so I'm sure you'll be looking forward to Big Brother VIP, which
definitely
is around the corner.
Really?
And I've got to tell you, I mean, Ten's having a shocker every year, and they're launching a show this week called Making It. It's a craft show, and now this is what counts for primetime TV. I've got no interest at all. And my mate, Mulk, who does TV Black Box with me, he's addicted to the show, so he's a big fan. So there, you've got both sides of it. I just can't believe this is what we're serving up as primetime television. But you know what? Once upon a time, people said that about MasterChef. So maybe Ten have got the next big hit on their hands. I don't think so. So we've still got a few shows like that in the pipeline. Don't forget, Hey Hey, We're 50 the Hey Hey 50th anniversary special is coming as well. They shot that last week.
That'll be big.
And that's in the editing process. Mm. Yeah, I think that'll be huge. But weirdly, on Channel 7, Nine didn't want it.
Okay.
So that's
what?
Yeah, that's a crazy one. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, if the Masked Singer can rate, seriously, a show about craft can, for sure.
Exactly.
Anything is possible. Anything. Hey, Rob, good on you,
course,
mate. Yep.
No dramas at all. Thanks. I was just going to say, you guys might be interested in The Bachelorette. She is a bisexual bachelorette. That's starting soon. So men and women will both be competing for her affections.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well, that will get the viewers.
That will get the viewers.
That will. That'll be interesting to watch. Wow, unbelievable. All right, well, there you go. You've heard it all here. Hey, Rob McKnight from TV Black Box. Love your work, mate, and we love having a chat to you regularly, mate. Thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
Always a pleasure. Love you guys.
It's time for the last blast on Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
All righty, let's get into it. Oh, how was the chat with Rob McKnight? I missed it. I had to duck out just for a second.
I liked the little clanger he dropped on us before we left.
What was
the Bachelor?
That?
So the Bachelorette, the next, which is usually the female, or the Bachelor is the male.
Yes.
Is she's bisexual and they're going to have males and females. Yeah.
Well, why would he be called Bachelorette then? Why wouldn't it be Bachelor?
Well, because she's still a female, Badge.
She's still a female.
Is she?
Yes.
Yeah. Bisexual female.
Mm. Yes.
Right.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what she chooses.
Males and females will be on the show. That will be a ratings massive bonanza, that one, I reckon, for sure. I'd watch that.
Will you? Okay, well, you can do our review every, or preview or review, whatever.
Would you like to see a show on Swingers?
Wouldn't want to come up against Sass.
On what?
They should have a Bachelorette Swingers, like, so a couple goes in.
Yep.
And they choose another couple.
It's called,
the end.
They've done that before.
Have they?
Yeah, haven't they done Love Island where...
It's called Love Island.
Not Love Island.
No, they've done something like that where couples have gone in somewhere.
I want to see Bachelor. A couple goes in and then they pick another couple and there's a stream of couples that come through and then they pick a couple who they end up swinging with at the end of it.
Is this a normal Saturday night in your household, mate? Is this like keys in the bowl? Grab a slice of pizza, help yourself. Pants are optional. Is this what happens?
And can we come over?
Speak for yourself. But why would you think of that?
Not for me. I think it would be... great viewing. Am I saying this out loud?
Jeez.
What?
Imagine. Oh, God, could you imagine?
Swatchler.
Switchler.
Switchler. There
She's
you go.
She's got legs. We should work on this. What do you reckon, Badge? I'll be the director. I'm going to wear a beret.
0477-736-736. Would you watch a swingers version of The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
Could I be Osher Ginsberg?
Yeah, you come out and go, Scott. It's time for you to go, but your wife can stay. By the way, the Sydney Kings COVID outbreak has spread. Heard about this, boys? With multiple players and staff members now isolating following positive tests. The Kings have suspended pre-season training effective immediately following a positive COVID test within the playing group. The player was unvaccinated.
Mm.
So what are we going to do, boys? This is going to pop up all the time. And I heard Jimmy Smith saying this afternoon. Do we just have to make sure all players are vaccinated? If you don't, if you don't want to vaccinate, that's fine. But you can't be a part of the playing group.
Yeah.
What do we do?
That.
At this stage, yes, absolutely.
But is that a restraint of trade?
No. It could be viewed as that, Woogie. But the other side of it is an employer has to protect his employees.
So they've got the choice of who comes into their place of employment.
Yeah, and they have to protect their employees who have been vaccinated. And
they've got a duty of care, right?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So anyway, don't know what's going to happen there. Don't know whether this is going to delay the season. I'm not sure. And, they've got to make some decisions, don't they? And then fans that go to the game, should they only be vaccinated as well? I mean, we're heading down that path, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We are now. We are at the moment. I mean, does COVID just become like when influenza first came in, then we got vaccinated for it, and those who don't get it each and every year get sick. We're trying to get too political, and we're not health experts, but at the moment, in this very early stages, I think it's going to have to be the way to go.
Did you see the vaccination tent boys set up in Rocky on the weekend?
No.
Yeah, so they had a vaccination tent.
I heard that. Yeah, you get it at the game.
Yeah, so you walk through that and you go in the draw to win, I don't know, a signed jersey or something, and then you go into the game.
And was it a success? Did it?
Well, there was people lining up for it, yeah. So anyway, interesting. Hey, Ben Simmons, Sats, has been smashed by some NBA greats.
Yeah, on the basketball theme still. He's been offered a $270 million contract by the 76ers, of course, and it's Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal on Shaq's big podcast, it's called. Yeah, they hammered him. They basically said, well, he wants out of Philadelphia, even though that taking $270 million, then asking for requesting a trade. And Shaq came in and said, you know what, Ben Simmons, you're not that good. In this league, if you just want to be good, that's fine. But if you want to be great, you got to work on your game. You're not willing to work on your game, worse to those effects. And he thinks that he'd rather build his social media profile as, and appear on red carpets as opposed to working really hard. So, you know, a couple of players there that knows what it takes as well.
Yep, I reckon they're on the money there. Deserve that.
Yeah, comedian Hamish Blake, who put this story up today?
I did. It's funny.
You like Hamish, don't you?
Like him. I like both of them, Hamish and Andy. But he's a mad Melbourne Demons fan.
Yeah.
And because the game is, and both he and his wife, Zoe Foster, have moved to Sydney now, he wants to go to, obviously, Perth and see his beloved Melbourne Demons playing their first grand final since 2000.
Shouldn't be happening.
Would you get them on Switchella?
No, they wouldn't go on.
Why?
Oh, because they're a good couple. They wouldn't do it.
Right, so it's only dirty couples you want on Switchella.
It's freaky couples.
You know what I'd like to see on Switchella, Badge? What do you think? The giant kebab and the giant lobster from Masked Singer. That's who I'd like to see on Switchella. Imagine throwing your keys in the bowl and ending up in bed next to a giant kebab.
I'm sure you've done that before.
Actually, I have. but anyway, Hamish Blake here, he's gone to some great lengths to try and, in a comical way, to try and get some leave pass to get into the WA to watch his beloved Demons.
You get it, is that Optus Stadium? G'day, it's Maxie Gorn here, captain of the Melbourne Footy Club. Yeah, thank you. No, that's really kind. No, thanks so much. No, we had a great time. You know, all super proud of all the boys. Job's not done yet. So. It's actually not what I'm calling. I've actually done something a bit silly. I've cut my beard off. And I stuck all the hair on my head, so I look completely different. Yeah, just during the post-game celebrations the other night. Yeah, no, so what I actually have realised is I will look completely different to my pass. So I'm actually going to need to send a new picture of me to you guys and get a new ID pass made up so I can get into the ground for the grand final.
None of them were.
He actually made one phone call to the transport department saying, listen, I've lost my WA driver's license. I'm a truck driver. I've got a truck full of ice creams. They're melting. So if I just send you my photo, can you just give me another pass? Is it that easy?
And they wanted to keep looking in the system. No, listen, don't waste your time looking in the system. These ice creams are melting. You ring the Premier's office as well.
Very funny.
You have it. Badge, Wallabies playmaker Quade Cooper's long-running battle for Australian citizenship could be over.
Yes, because what's he played? 70 tests?
Yep.
70 tests. Just like we mentioned earlier on with Angus Young from Akadaka, finally, the Minister for Immigration has said, we're going to make an exception here for people like sports stars and, other rock stars who just
like you mentioned,
have been around a long time. Yep. He's finally going to be granted Australian citizenship.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
Good on him.
Deserves it.
Can he call
it? He wouldn't have got it if he'd missed that goal. They would have stayed never.
Actually, I think he's still granted. Is he still lining up for that kick?
Oh, no. I think he's finished that kick. Hey, listen, I give it to him on one proviso. He doesn't call a Nesky a chili bin because that's just stupid.
Chully bin.
Yeah, not chully bin. And it's fish and chips, not fosh.
Yeah,
and they're thongs, not jandals.
Jandals. And also gum boots. They call them Wellingtons.
Why?
Do they?
And a doona is called a duvet.
In England. A duvet?
A duvet.
What?
Don't give it to him.
No.
Not if anyone calls something a duvet. That's just...
Well, I don't think he does anymore, and that's why he got in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So he goes...
He said, throw the doona on me while I'm wearing my thongs, and I want to get a beer out of the esky.
Oh, done.
That's the that's the pass.
Rightio. Is that your last laugh?
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
This is, I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours,
Sats. I've got a COVID theme tonight. And, yeah, we've got to try and, you don't want to make light of COVID, but, you know, sometimes we've got to try and take a light-hearted view at times to smile. So I've got a COVID angle, and that is, what do you call an anti-vax nanny? Mrs. Doubtfizer.
Yes. Yes.
Woody, Olympian, he's back. Olympian Riley Day.
Oh, God.
All right, we'll give it to him.
This is Doubtfizer.
Very good.
Still going to work on your laughing a bit earlier. Gee, your delivery's good.
It's getting better, isn't it, Badge?
Yeah, it is.
It's getting good. If only the jokes could get better, and then we'd have the perfect package. Now, listen, boys, we've got to go. Make sure you grab the potty. That's the podcast from wherever you get your podcasts from. It'll be up in around about 20 minutes' time. Just look out for Sports Day.
Reached 20,000 podcasts last month.
Who did?
Ours.
It did not. Sports Day New South Wales. Where'd you get that figure from?
Out of my head.
You're like an anti-vaxxer. You just make stuff up, don't you, as you go. That'll be on the text, won't it, Badge? All right, guys, have yourself a good night. We'll be back tomorrow night.
Good night!
See ya.